NTSB wants new rules for the Hudson River VFR corridor. There's new help coming to pilots trying to avoid high wires. And American Airlines retires its last A300. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack here at Portland International Airport. We're headed down to Bend for the Cessna 300, 350, 400 family reunion. This one's going to be a little bit bittersweet, as the owners of the type have their last get-together here before the Bend plant is shut down. We'll have some interesting perspectives, including a look at what's in Cessna's plans for the future, and an interview with Lance Nybauer to bring you in the next few days. In the meantime, thanks for downloading this AeroCast, and here's what's up in aviation for Friday, August 28, 2009. The National Transportation Safety Board has issued recommendations to the FAA in the wake of the August 8th mid-air collision between a Piper and a tour helicopter over the Hudson River in the VFR corridor below Class B airspace. 9 people died in that one. That was the first in the corridor in over 4 decades. As is the case with many of its recommendations, the NTSB is free to propose remedies with no analysis of their feasibility or cost-effectiveness, and leave the FAA to take the political heat involved in making those analyses. In this case, NTSB wants more briefings for controllers, specific training required of any pilot who'd fly VFR through the corridor, and vertical separation standards between fixed wing and helicopters, which could be a good trick with an 1,100-foot hard ceiling. You can read more details in the text version of this story, dated August 27th, at aero-news.net. The FAA has published a memo announcing the approved use of audio-visual warning systems in the National Airspace System. With that approval will come an update to an advisory circular on obstruction marking and lighting. Specifically, the FAA is accelerating implementation of OCAS, think TCAS but for inanimate objects. High power lines and other objects that penetrate airspace will be equipped with low power radar to detect nearby aircraft and use strobes to alert pilots when they're getting close. Further, VHF transmitters capable of simulcasting on several frequencies at once will issue audible warnings, such as power lines, power lines. The FAA says it will further study a plan for the frequencies used in that operation. OCAS is already used in Canada and Europe. I can't help but wonder if more widespread adoption here in the States means a flood of new NOTAM clutter when systems are down, like what happens now with beacons. American Airlines took delivery of its first Airbus A300 back in 1988. And the last A300 flight under American's colors landed in New York's Kennedy Airport shortly after midnight on Wednesday. American spokesman Tim Smith says the time is right. Quote, one, we are in the process of cutting capacity. Two, these airplanes are a likely candidate for retirement in that they're older than most of the airplanes in our fleet, unquote. He adds that the A300 requires different training and maintenance from the other airplanes in American's fleet. Smith told the Dallas Morning News that American bought its first A300s because it couldn't get Boeing 767s fast enough. Well, deja vu, the plane American hopes will fill the gap caused by the retirement of its A300s is the Boeing 787 Dreamliner, which is now more than 2 years behind schedule. Up next on ANN, Avadyne reports delivery of the first 2 G3R9 retrofits to customers. Nextent reaches a milestone with its ProLine 21 upgrade for the Beechjet 400. And another prominent member of the greatest generation has gone west. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for August 28th. I'm Paul Plack. Avadyne has been promoting an aircraft it calls the G3R9, a retrofit of its Integra Release 9 flight deck into a late-model Cirrus SR-22 G3. Now, the company is reporting the first of the planes have been delivered, one each by Leading Edge Aviation Services of Tampa and Lone Mountain Aviation of North Las Vegas. In explaining the package's appeal, customer T.J. Schembecker commented, quote, Leading Edge found me a low-time G3 Cirrus aircraft, and with the addition of Integra Release 9, I now have an aircraft that is much more capable at a price that was easily $100,000 less than buying new, unquote. Robert Miller, the customer who took delivery of the other plane, observed, quote, "I initially considered upgrading my 2003 Cirrus. With used aircraft prices being what they are and the current tax advantages associated with making the purchase, I saw this as a great opportunity to move up to a G3 Cirrus with a new wing, air conditioning, improved performance, and very low time engine. And the guys at Lone Mountain found me a great airplane and did the retrofit of Release 9 before I took delivery," unquote. The R9 upgrade to an existing SR-22 G3 starts at about $80,000. Nextent Aerospace says it's completed the initial certification flight for its planned upgrade of the Beechjet 400A XP with a Rockwell Collins ProLine 21 flight deck. The ProLine 21 upgrade combines one of the most popular avionics suites available with one of the most popular light-medium business jets. Mark O'Donnell, VP of Manufacturing for Nextent, comments, quote, "The increased situational awareness and control this retrofit offers to owners and pilots are exceptional. The interest we've received in this upgrade is astonishing, and we've already begun securing installation slots," unquote. The base price for this upgrade, including three displays, is $390,000. Options include a fourth display, IFIS, and XM Satellite NEXRAD radar. A lawsuit filed Wednesday in Los Angeles County Superior Court alleges Castle & Cooke Aviation Services has been unlawfully operating and marketing itself as an FBO at Van Nuys Airport, despite rules prohibiting the fueling of transient aircraft there. The complaint was filed on behalf of McGuire Aviation, the largest of four companies that are authorized to operate as FBOs there. Van Nuys, which is the world's busiest general aviation airport, is managed by Los Angeles World Airports, which has cited environmental concerns and a need to limit competition in restricting the number of FBOs on the field. The lawsuit claims Castle & Cooke has been purchasing and selling substantially more fuel than it would need if it were just self-fueling and advertising itself as an FBO. Attorneys for the Airport Authority have insisted the company stop the marketing and take reasonable precautions to correct erroneous media reporting which refers to it as an FBO. ANN has learned that retired Air Force Major General Charles R. Bond Jr. has gone west. The general was one of the last surviving Flying Tiger pilots of World War II. He passed away in Dallas, Texas, August 18th, at the age of 94. General Bond retired in 1968 as commander of the 12th Air Force in Waco, Texas, after more than 30 years of service. He had been decorated by multiple governments during his career and was credited with 9.5 enemy kills. He was also shot down twice himself. The Dallas Morning News reports that Bond joined the Texas National Guard in 1932, graduated from West Point, and was commissioned into the Army Air Forces in 1939. When President Roosevelt formed a volunteer unit to protect trade routes in China, the now famous Flying Tigers, Bond volunteered for the secret program so he could get out of bombers and into fighters. His military honors include a Purple Heart, Legion of Merit with Oak Leaf Cluster, and an Army Commendation Medal from the United States, a Distinguished Flying Cross from the British, and the Fifth Order of the Cloud Banner and the Seven-Star Wing Medal from the Chinese. He earned a bachelor's degree along the way in the service and went on to a business career after retiring from the Air Force. He is survived by a son and three daughters. General Bond, thank you for your service to our country. Still ahead, now aviation job openings can reach you instantly anywhere. A flying club in Pennsylvania achieves a dubious distinction. And here's how you make an entrance on your first day back at class. You're listening to Aero News.
Welcome to Cirrus Design, maker of the world's best-selling personal aircraft, the sleek SR-22. Cirrus planes feature the latest technologies and are equipped with an exclusive, life-saving parachute system. It is our mission to make personal aviation safe, affordable, and convenient. At Cirrus, we offer a test drive like no one else in the business.
We're back here at PDX to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, August 28th. I'm Paul Plack. An aviation jobs company is now distributing word of its clients' openings via Twitter. JS Firm, which offers online employment and resume search tools for aviation professionals, creates tweets automatically when its clients post new openings. Account manager Tanya Salatino says that from there, the openings are also distributed via MySpace, Facebook, and LinkedIn. Quote, "There is a wealth of talent on social networking sites. JS Firm is bringing them to our company members," unquote. JS Firm claims 5,000 companies have posted openings through its service. So now, if you're looking for work and have a mobile device, you can extend your anxiety over getting your resume on top of the pile into essentially a 24/7 activity that reaches every golf course and men's room stall. So much for a little downtime from the rat race. The Vintage Aero Club in Smoketown, Pennsylvania has only 10 listed members, which makes the odds of this really long. On Tuesday, the club's Cessna 150 was observed busting prohibited airspace near the nation's capital in Washington, D.C., and the student pilot at the controls got an unscheduled formation flight with two Coast Guard helicopters to Gaithersburg, where he landed without incident. The thing is, this is the second time it's happened with the same plane. Back in 2005, November 5826 Gulf had a different pilot at the controls when it busted the DC-8s. In this week's case, the FAA says the pilot was interviewed by law enforcement officers and the Secret Service. They determined that he'd gotten lost while flying in clouds on his first solo cross-country. An all-around, not too smart day. And finally today, when your kids demonstrate diligence and good judgment, you need to take note and reward it. 14-year-old Joseph Southern is an honor student, and his dad, Bart, wanted to make his son's first day back at class memorable. So, he rented a Schweitzer 300 helicopter and dropped Joe off for his first day back at Eastridge High School in Claremont, Florida. The Orlando Sentinel reports Bart made the landing behind some portable classrooms, well away from bystanders, and appears not to have run afoul of any FAA regs. Joe thought it was great being taken to school in a helicopter, but the administration, not so much. Principal David E. Cunningham commented, quote, "It's not something that needs to happen every day, or ever," unquote. Fortunately, it's not likely to be a frequent problem. I mean, how often is this going to happen? An honor student in Claremont? That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, Larry Simberger, the director of balloon operations at the Arlington Fly-In, explains how new pilots enter the sport. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.